Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Deanne Penn at United Nations headquarters in New York. Coming up in this week's program, refugee chefs teach hungry New Yorkers to eat offbeat, and Afghan women journalists talk about the realities of working in the country. But first, the release of a further 82 of the so-called Chibok girls abducted by the Boko Haram terrorist group in Nigeria has been welcomed by the United Nations. The girls were freed this past weekend, and a representative of the UN Children's Fund, UNICEF, in the country said agency staff were supporting efforts to identify the released girls and give them medical checkups. As a reminder, a total of 276 girls were abducted 3 years ago by the extremist group, and before Saturday's release, there were still around 195 being held. The abductions triggered worldwide outrage and a viral social media campaign in support of their release, hashtag Bring Back Our Girls. Here's UN spokesperson Stéphane Dujarric speaking to reporters in New York following their release.
I wanted to say that we welcome the release of an additional 82 of the Chibok schoolgirls who were abducted by Boko Haram insurgent groups in April of 2014. We remain deeply concerned about the safety and well-being of the schoolgirls and other victims still in captivity. We appeal to all Nigerians, including the families and local communities of the liberated girls, to fully embrace them and provide all necessary support to ensure their reintegration into society. We also urge the international community to continue supporting the government of Nigeria in its effort to ensure the release and rehabilitation and reintegration of all of Boko Haram's victims. The executive director of UNFPA also welcomed the release and said that UNFPA is fully prepared to provide the released girls with emergency reproductive health care, psychosocial counseling, and other critical support. UNFPA already deployed an emergency team and psychosocial counselors and health professionals to help meet the freed girls' critical needs.
The 82 newly released girls were transferred to the Nigerian capital to be greeted by President Muhammadu Buhari, according to news reports. UNICEF acting representative Pernille Ironside said it was heartening to know they would be returning to their families, but she said the girls would face a long and difficult process to rebuild their lives after the indescribable horror and trauma they have suffered. She said UNICEF was on standby to support the Nigerian authorities to provide comprehensive psychosocial support and make sure their education continues in a safe environment. Meanwhile, the agency also called on Boko Haram to end all grave violations against children, she added, especially the sexual abuse and forced marriage of girls. New York City, where UN headquarters is located, is often described as a melting pot due to its amazing mix of cultures. People from all over the world have found a home here, bringing with them their customs and cuisines. Anna Kamu reports on a meal delivery service which supports some of the newest arrivals in the city known as the Big Apple, women who've been forced to flee their homelands.
New Yorkers hungry for something different can now eat offbeat. That's the name of the food company started by Manal Kahi, a Lebanese woman who came to the city 3 years ago. She was studying at Columbia University and missed her Syrian grandmother's hummus, a thick spread or dip whose ingredients include chickpeas, lemon and garlic.
Eat Offbeat delivers authentic ethnic meals that are conceived, prepared and delivered by refugees resettled here in New York City. So we hire passionate home cooks, we train them to become professional chefs, and then we deliver their food the way they make it at home to New Yorkers all over the city. We've done small dinners of 10, we've also done large events of 700 or 800 people.
Refugees from 11 countries prepare the meals in a small kitchen. On the menu are dishes such as chicken shawarma from Syria, that's slow-cooked chicken in a tangy sauce, and dumplings from Nepal, known as momos. The food is made with love by women like Rose, who fled the Central African Republic about a decade ago.
My name is Rose Nzapa. I'm from Central African Republic. I came here since 2007. I was a refugee in another country, by my country, in Cameroon. UN chair got me in Cameroon. Then American government chose me to come in U.S. I like working here because they're so nice, organized, clean. We work like family. I'm planning to cook cassava leaf with peanut butter. In my country, we like sauce with peanuts a lot.
The UN Refugee Agency, or UNHCR, reports that the number of people in Rose's situation is the highest since the end of the Second World War. Conflict and persecution have displaced over 65 million people, 21 million of whom are refugees. Bahia, another of the Eat Offbeat chefs, is among the latest arrivals in New York City.
My name is Bahia. I'm from Algeria, and I have been here for 5 months. For me, food is a way of expression, is a face of the culture of any country. We can't let it apart from the whole identity. So I want them to think of us as people.
Eat Offbeat recently hosted an event to thank New Yorkers for their support. Chefs also shared how much this means to them. Once again, Manal Kahi.
What we've seen happen at the kitchen is highly passionate people and talented people who want to share, who have something that they brought along with them and who want to share it. And we're trying to kind of provide a platform for that to happen. For our chefs, it's very important for them clearly to feel welcome, of course, but when they know that Americans are not just saying welcome, they're also eating their food and they're loving their food, it also gives them an extra, like it's the ultimate symbol of acceptance. So it's really about this communication between both sides. Like someone's cooking and the other is eating, kind of creates a communication between both.
Manal Kahi, CEO and founder of Eat Offbeat, a food delivery service in New York City that serves meals prepared by refugee chefs. Anna Carmo, United Nations.
Working as a woman journalist in Afghanistan is not easy because it's not safe, yet many girls still decide to enter the profession. That's what one member of the Afghan Women Journalists Union told our colleague Shamsuddin Hamidi at the UN mission in the country, UNAMA. Mr. Hamidi has prepared this report on Afghan women journalists, including those working for the all-female station Radio Sana, located in the northern city of Pul-e-Kumri.
Radio Sana is the only radio in northern city of Pul-e-Kumri, Afghanistan, which is run by women since 2010. Its program mostly focus on women, but it also covers issues from different aspects. Mina Mustaid is the head of the radio, and jointly with her four other female reporters running the daily hard job of reporting in the station. I have asked her what motivated her to open the radio station and to work in radio.
We had a few radio stations here, but all were run by men. Then we decided to have a special radio for women where all of the reporting, editing, and broadcasting were done by women, and they did it independently and freely.
Female journalists played a particularly important role as they were able to report on social issues that male colleagues in this deeply conservative society found harder to access. Ms. Mustaid said they are working for the women's rights to be improved in the country, raise awareness about and make sure that their voices has been heard.
It's important to have female voices. We are working here especially for women. Consider their needs. Our programs are for women about the issues they are interested in. In addition, men are also among our listeners.
Radio Sana is now broadcasting to over 500,000 residents in Pul-e-Kumri city and nearest areas. Afghanistan is a traditional and religious society. We are working for women is not easy at all. Sadaf Ahmadi, a member of Afghan Women Journalists Union in northern Baghlan province of Afghanistan, said, female journalists are facing many challenges in their day-to-day activities.
To be a journalist or work in media is not very easy, especially in our country. They face to some challenges. The biggest problem is insecurity, because they can't feel comfortable and in place to work. In our country, especially in certain province, there is still traditionalism. It's very problem.
Radio Sana's biggest achievement is that it broadcasts broad differences in its audience life, particularly in women's life.
Shamsuddin Hamidi, United Nations, Baghlan, Afghanistan.
You've been listening to UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Deanne Penn.